The Appropriations Committee will come to order. Cheryl, please call the roll.
Chair Leak?
Here.
Vice Chair McClure?
I'm here.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Here.
Ranking Member Driscoll?
Here.
Representatives Altman? Andrade, excused. Bell?
Here.
Benjamin? Brannon?
Here.
Brasada Cabrera?
Here.
Cheney?
Here.
Daley?
Here.
Fine?
Here.
Garrison? Gottlieb?
Here.
Grant?
Here.
Gregory?
Here.
Hunchowski, excused. Masullo?
Here.
Payne?
Here.
Perez?
Here.
Rummel?
Here.
Sosman?
Here.
Schoaf?
Here.
Silvers?
Here.
Skidmore?
Here.
Stevenson?
Here.
Tomco?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Woodson? You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Appropriations Committee. Please make sure that all cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. Today we have six bills on our agenda. We're going to start with CSR HB 505 by Representative Trunow. Representative Trunow, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair and members. CS for HB 505 does the following. Increases the base salary used in the formula for calculating tax collector revenue by $5,000. Allows tax collector employees to qualify for lump sum monetary benefits for adopting a child based on the same qualifying terms as state employees, veterans, and service members. Allows tax collectors budget for retention bonuses to employees upon Department of Revenue approval. Allows school districts to contract with county tax collectors' offices to administer road tests on school grounds. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Trunow. Members, are there any questions of the sponsor?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yep, Representative Williams.
Thank you very much. Rep, can you elaborate a little bit more when you're talking about adopting a child? Is this for the tax collectors and employees, or are we able to add additional person or people to that?
Representative Trunow.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for the question. The program already exists in the state of Florida. We're just adding members of the tax collectors, employees of the tax collector to the list.
Any further questions? Members, any further questions of the sponsor? Representative Bell for a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Trunow, for bringing this bill forward. On the tax collector increase of their salary, are we going to include other constitutional officers in this instead of piecemealing each constitutional each year?
Representative Trunow.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for the question. At this time, no, we're not going to add anyone else, but we are having conversations, and we'll continue to have those conversations.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Altman for a question.
Thanks. You may have already addressed this, but I wanted to be sure. So this bill only applies to tax collector. It doesn't apply to other constitutional officers such as sheriffs or clerks.
I believe that's what he just said.
Yeah, I thought I heard that. Yeah, okay. But, just want to be double sure.
Just so we're clear, only applies to tax collectors. Members, okay. Are there any other questions? Seeing no other questions, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? We have Timothy Qualls, Florida Tax Collectors Association, is a proponent. Timothy? Waves in support. David Jordan, Lake County Tax Collector's Office, waves in support. Drew Miner, Florida Tax Collectors Association, waves in support. Seeing no further public testimony, is there debate? Members, is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Trunow, you're recognized to close on your bill. Oh, sorry, we have debate.
I do.
Representative Bell, in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And as you know, I'm passionate about all of our constitutional officers in the state. And I appreciate you, Rep. Trunow, going further with this, and hopefully that we'll be able to, in this bill, include our sheriffs and our other constitutional officers, clerk of courts and all, because they do a good job for us throughout the state. And like I said, 2 years ago, we were looking at the sheriff's office, our sheriff, and then 3 years ago, we were looking at the clerk. 4 or 5 years ago, we did supervisor of elections, so it'd be great if we could just compile that list all together and do one at one time. So thank you.
Any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Trunow, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for your questions and comments, and I look forward to continuing that forward. With that, I close.
Thank you. Cheryl, will you please call the roll?
Chair Leak?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Driscoll? Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Andrade? Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin? Brannon?
Yes.
Versada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Honchowski? Masullo?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Sosman?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you, members. By your vote, the bill passes. Please show CS for HB 505 reported favorably. Thank you. Next up, we will take CS for HB 165 by Representative Gossett, Seidman, and Cross. Representative Gossett, Seidman, you're recognized.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everyone, for hearing this bill. This bill was entitled Safe Waterways for an overwhelming reason that it is not always safe to bathe and recreate in our waters throughout our state. That's because we have agencies, municipalities, and counties all engaged to keep our beaches and waters safe and healthy. However, communication is lacking. When contamination of a waterway occurs, there are lapses in reporting and informing the agencies and the public. There are also delays in testing waters and posting signs at beaches, waterways, lakes, and marinas that waters are unsafe. Often persons are uncertain on how to proceed or whom to call. This bill clarifies the responsibilities. It requires, rather than allows, Department of Health to issue notices within 24 hours of the quality of beach waters. It also requires counties and municipalities to notify the Department of Health and post signage within 24 hours of their contaminations via pipe breaks and any other sorts of contaminations. DEP and FWC are also required to post signage on waters owned by the state. It requires public boat docks, marinas, and piers to report the municipality or the county incident that negatively impacts the water quality. And Rep. Cross?
Representative Cross, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Besides nutrients, fecal bacteria is the top source of pollution in water bodies around the state. Currently, there are 113 total maximum daily load, or TMDLs, for fecal contamination published on the DEP website. So clearly, this is a problem, but it becomes a serious human health concern when there are wastewater or septic spills in our oceans, on our beaches, and other public bathing areas. Fecal matter in the water can cause serious human health concerns, including gastrointestinal illnesses, respiratory illnesses, skin rashes, and irritation of the eyes and nose. And children are particularly at risk, likely because they are ingesting more of that water when they're playing in the water. Water quality and sampling of advisories has not been consistent or reliable in many parts of the state, which means that the public and tourists are often unknowingly exposed to harmful levels of bacteria when they go to the beach. Sampling and signage are both inexpensive, with the cost of a sample running around $100 and the cost of a reusable sign ranging anywhere from $50 to $100. So this bill really is about protecting public health, the health, safety, and welfare of both Floridians and those visiting our great state. And that is the bill.
Thank you, members. We are in questions. Are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions of the sponsor, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? Pepper Uccino, Florida Shore and Beach Preservation Association, waves in support. Seeing no further public testimony, is there debate? Is there debate? Representative Altman, in debate.
I just really wanted to thank Representative Gossett Seidman for really diving into this issue and finding a solution.
Representative Stevenson, in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and I wanted to congratulate you on your efforts. It's always good to let people know, and this is a common sense solution of a problem that you saw and worked to find a solution for, and I appreciate your efforts, and I look forward to voting for this bill. Thank you.
Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Gossett-Seidman, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, sir. Thanks to Rep. Altman's note, I will let you all know I had a personal experience last summer that I did actually jump off our boat in the Lake Worth Lagoon into a contaminated waterway. Eventually, over 3 weeks, 22 million gallons spilled into the intercoastal at the Boynton Inlet. And I jumped in to cool off because it's 95 degrees. We'd gone up in our new little boat to check out the approps I'd gotten, almost 3 million to plant mangroves and other fish and life, sea life levels of living there in their habitat. So I really thought at first, because there was no notice, that some rogue landscaper on the 4th of July, this was, had just blown all this grass into the water, but it wasn't grass and it wasn't landscape, it was TP, toilet paper, and brown sewage. And luckily my husband put me on an antibiotic that night, hosed me off. My best friend was there, she's a nurse. So I'm telling you this not to gross you out or to be like dramatic, but this is what 1,500 people were swimming in that day at Boynton Beach, and no notice was given. And the marinas are included in this because luckily a very bright on the job harbor master saw this spill on the 3rd of July, possibly the 2nd, depending who you believe, and reported it to the city. But it took 4 days to report it to the local TV channel to let the public know. I went on the websites and took screenshots. Where's the notice? Where's the notice? Nowhere. Not on any department website, state or county or city. And this is where we really are failing our people. I did check with our Scott Singer, the mayor of Boca Raton and town manager of Highland Beach, my district. How hard is it to let people know? And they said easy, 12 to 24 hours we can get an email or text blast out. And it is of minimal fiscal to them. So I appreciate everyone's listening to the story. We do have really great wide support from people at FAU Harbor Branch, Surf Rider, and a number of other people who've helped us out. Appreciate your support, and with that, I close.
Thank you. All of us being thoroughly grossed out, we'll now proceed to vote. Sarah, will you please call the roll?
Chair Leak?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Ooh, yes.
Andrade? Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin? Brannon?
Yes.
Brasada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Hunchowski? Masullo?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Sosman?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
By your vote, the bill passes. Please show CS for HB 165 reported favorable. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
We'll now move on to the presentation of CS for HB 639 by Representative Yeager. Representative Yeager, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair Leak, Vice Chair McClure, and Ranking Member Driscoll, and esteemed members. When you call 911, it's an emergency, and you don't have the time to ensure the ambulance being sent is in or out of your insurance network. This bill requires insurers to reimburse out-of-network ambulance services at the lesser of three set rates. That is the bill.
Thank you. Any questions on the bill? Members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? Terrence Ramatar, Florida Ambulance Association, is a proponent. Thank you. Waves and support. Tracy Vouse, Walton County Sheriff's Office. Waves and support. Thank you. Seeing no further testimony, is there debate?
Is there debate?
Seeing no debate, Representative. Whoop, sorry. Representative Stevenson, I'm sorry. You're right.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that you're solving an important problem. And this is these are important services, and so you're filling a gap. I don't know that much about this area, but the 350% of Medicare seems higher than any threshold I've ever seen set. I've seen 200 is a pretty robust, and we just recently did 150% for workers' comp. I hope you'll look at that as you go forward for it to be an appropriate charge for the services. And notice it was the lesser of that or their actual charges. But, you know, I'm not that familiar, but a lot of healthcare providers don't charge standard. That's all. I mean, don't charge your standard rate or get reimbursed on it.
Thank you. Is there any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Yeager, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to answer that question a little bit, that's something we're definitely working through, working with both parties to make sure we come to that agreement at the end, what makes sense. So, but that has been passed in other states and went through. So, but with that, I'll close.
Thank you. Cheryl, will you please call the roll?
Chair Leak?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Andrade? Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin? Brannon?
Yes.
Rosado Guevara?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Hunchowski? Masullo?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Sosman?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill passes. Please show CS for HB 639 reported favorably. Congratulations. We'll now move to the presentation of CS for HB 773 by Representative Woodson. Representative Woodson, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Good afternoon, Chair Leak, Vice Chair McClure, Committee Whip Mooney, Ranking Member Driscoll, and members of the committee. Thank you very much, Chair Leak, for allowing me to present this bill. I know I have nagged you and bothered you. Even though you were busy, you still took the time to talk to me, so I appreciate it, and I thank you for that.
For the record, it was 12:08 a.m. last night, and I wasn't busy, I was sleeping. Go ahead.
Hey, we have to do the work. We have to work. Thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 773, entitled Coverage for Diagnostic and Supplemental Breast Examination, in this committee. Members, I stand here before you as the daughter of a woman who had a mastectomy. As well, I myself had a scare a few years ago when I went for my mammogram and I was called to have additional tests. And because I had insurance, I had two insurance premiums, I was able to get those additional tests. Because what happened when you don't get those tests done, it might lead to stage one, stage two, stage three. And I was one of those fortunate women who was diagnosed at stage zero, where I did not have to go through what other women go through as a result of not having the money to pay the out-of-pocket costs. The intent of House Bill 773 is to ensure the earlier detection of breast cancer by eliminating out-of-pocket costs for medically necessary diagnostic and supplemental breast imaging. A recent study published in Radiology found that 1 in 5 patients said they would not go back for the recommended follow-up imaging if they had to pay a deductible or out-of-pocket cost. We know that once cancer spreads outside the breast, it is up to 5 times more expensive to treat. This legislation has passed in 20 states, and fiscal notes have shown negligible impacts on premium. No one should have to decline a test that helps to rule out breast cancer or confirm the need for a biopsy because of the cost, yet thousands of people in Florida are doing it every year. 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. And 1 in every 100 diagnoses is found in a man, not just women. Men also are diagnosed with breast cancer. So this legislation does not seek to create a new coverage mandate. It simply addresses the patient cost-sharing requirement as currently defined in Florida statutes. The bill pertains only to those who are currently covered by state-regulated health plans that are already providing coverage breast imaging. It ensures that a patient who needs diagnostic imaging, such as an MRI, an ultrasound, or diagnostic mammogram, to rule out or confirm the need for a biopsy, is not forced to forego medically necessary services due to out-of-pocket costs. It also ensures that those at high risk, based on personal or family medical history, just like I mentioned to you about my case, or additional factors that may increase the person's risk of breast cancer when there's no abnormality seen or suspected, can access diagnostic testing with no burdensome cost sharing. Mr. Chair, that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative Woodson. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, there are no amendments. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify? Etta Fernandez, AARP, waves in support. Brian Jogerst, Florida Breast Cancer Foundation, waves in support. Susan Harbin and George McCown, wave in support. Seeing no further public testimony, is there debate? Representative Cheney, in debate.
Thank you, Chair League. Thank you, Representative Woodson, for bringing this bill forward. I think most people know my husband and I had a mobile mammography business, and we had a woman that we diagnosed with breast cancer on one of our buses. And because her deductible was not met, it was going to be $600 out of pocket for her diagnostic. She was a school teacher in Polk County. And she ended up not going for the diagnostic because she could not afford the $600, and unfortunately she died because of it. So this is a very good bill. It's long overdue, and I appreciate you bringing it forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Driscoll, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Woodson, for this bill. It is impactful. This is a bill that will help save lives just by making sure that there are the resources to have these diagnostics. So I thank you for always being so practical with the bills that you bring. You're always very thoughtful, and it's my honor to vote up on this today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further debate? Representative Payne, in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Woodson, thank you for the bill. Dr. Masulu and I have also a cancer preemption bill we're running this year, but we've been debating on the back row as to why you would text us at 11:57 last night on your bill. And I hope you received my response this morning at 4:38.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Thank you for the bill.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Is there any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Woodson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have so many people to really thank for this bill. And I appreciate the comments also of Leader Driscoll, Rep. Cheney, and, of course, Rep. Payne as well. Yes, I did get your message. But I really appreciate the fact that you calendared the bill for me, and Rep. Garrison as well. I know I have bothered him, and he did put it on his calendar. So it is very distressing that women have to sacrifice their own health when they have to think about putting food on their table or to get those additional tests done. And we know that in Florida, over 3,200 Floridians died of breast cancer in 2022. So when you're thinking about a five-year span, you're looking at 15,000 people who died of breast cancer. So this is something that we really need to take serious and give them whatever resources that they need in order to save lives. I have to thank, Mr. Chair, if you allow me, Krista Kalamas, the staff director, Krista Kalamas. Krista has worked with me for almost a whole year on this bill because we had to do the research. We had to work with different organizations. And she has always returned my call, always done the research with her staff, Jennifer Lloyd, as well. So I'm very grateful for the work that they have done to help me with this bill. And also Leah Baker from the Susan G. Coleman Foundation. Leah is also a trooper because it takes a lot of work for you to really work your bill. As you can see, how I bothered you sometimes. But this is how serious that I take the job. And really, I'm very grateful for all the people and everybody else who has supported me that I have called or asked for some information. I really appreciate it. So, members, I thank you for hearing me. Brian, thank you so much. I know I called you also one time about something, and you're always there for me. So I'm grateful and thankful to everyone, and I look forward to your support on this bill. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Woodson. Having closed on our bill, we'll now proceed to vote. Chair, will you please call the roll?
Chair Leak?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Thank you.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Andrade? Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Thank you.
Brannon?
Yes.
Brasada Cabrera? Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grant?
Thank you.
Gregory?
Yes.
Hunchowski? Masullo?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Perez?
Perez? Yes.
Rummel?
Yes.
Sosman?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill passes. Please show CS for HB 773 reported favorably.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
We will now move to the presentation of CS for HB 1001 by Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill contains the Department of Revenue's administrative package, which allows the department to reopen certain assessments when an unfortunate event prevents a taxpayer from timely protesting, clarifies when the sale of a boat and trailer will be treated as a single item for the purpose of applying discretionary sales tax, simplifies the process of claiming the sales tax exemption for non-resident purchasers of boat and aircraft, allows the department to include all taxes, fees, interest, and cost authorized by law in garnishment or levy. This should reduce the processing costs because for now they have a separate process they go to do some of those collections. It also removes obsolete language. The bill also contains a small friendly provision, business-friendly provision, that raises the dollar threshold for underpayment of corporate income tax from $2,000 to $6,000 in the event that an extension has been granted, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I note there's one amendment, but we have questions. Are there questions on the bill? Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to explain amendment number one, barcode 247731.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment sets the effective date for the provision that raises the threshold for underpayment of corporate taxes to a tax year ending on or after December 31st, 2024.
Thank you. Are there questions on the amendment? Members, are there questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, is there public testimony on the amendment? Seeing no public testimony on the amendment, is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to close on your amendment number one.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Yay. All those opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. In public testimony, we have Alexander Yarger from the Department of Revenue waves in support. Seeing no further public testimony, members, is there any debate on the bill as amended? Any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate on the bill as amended, Cheryl, will you please call the roll?
And I wave.
Oh, sorry. And she waves close. Cheryl, please call the roll.
Chair Leak?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Andrade? Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin? Brannon?
Yes.
Brasada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Gregory?
Hunchowski,
Masullo,
yep.
Payne,
yes.
Perez,
yes.
Rummel,
yes.
Sosman,
yes.
Schoaf,
yes.
Silvers,
yes.
Skidmore,
yes.
Stevenson,
yes.
Tomko,
yes.
Williams,
yes.
Woodson,
yes.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill passes. Please show CS for HB 1001 reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, we are going to go into informal recess here while we do a little air traffic control. We'll be in informal recess until we call you back. All right, everyone, we are going to reconvene. If we can get the speakers to be to come back. All right, members, we're going to move on to the presentation of CS for HB 1083 by Representative Tribolsi. Representative Tribolsi, you are recognized.
Good Good afternoon, Chair League, members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to present House Bill 1083 to you today. Overall, the bill will make the adoption process more efficient while reducing barriers to permanency. Additionally, enhancements are made to further protect children from potentially unsafe placements, and financial assistance options are expanded for children who have been in the child welfare system. More specifically, the bill makes several changes to streamline permanency by creating a legal process for orphan children, reducing wait times for successor guardians, providing flexibility for service of process and termination of parental rights, and ensuring safe and appropriate placements. The bill also spells out current process related to background checks to ensure alignment and compliance with federal requirements. The bill seeks to expand the eligibility criteria for some of the major independent living programs that DCF currently operates, and I am excited to know that this independent living expansion is fully funded in both the House and the Senate, which is why we are here today, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Trabolsi. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, Representative Trabolsi, there's an amendment. You are recognized to explain amendment number one, barcode 803557.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like again to start by noting that this amendment is fully funded in the House, and House has recently passed GAA. Back in 2022, the legislature added law enforcement officers to the list of professions, teachers, veterans, active service members, state employees that can receive adoption benefits. Currently, only law enforcement officers may receive $25,000 in monetary adoption benefits for difficult-to-place children, while other eligible professions may only receive $10,000 in monetary benefits for difficult-to-place children. For non-difficult-to-place children, the current adoption benefit subsidy is $5,000 for the listed professions and $10,000 for law enforcement officers. This amendment will provide parity across all of the listed professions by providing a benefit of $25,000 for difficult-to-place children and $10,000 for non-difficult-to-place children, and that is the amendment.
Thank you, members. Are there questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, is there public testimony on the amendment? Seeing no public testimony on the amendment, is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Trabolsi, you're recognized to close on your amendment number one.
Wait, close.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
All those opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on the bill as amended? Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. Sam Kearse, Department of Children and Families, waves in support. Seeing no further public testimony, is there debate? Is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Trabolsi, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I'll wait close.
Thank you. Chair, will you please call the roll?
Chair Leak?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Committee Whip Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Andrade? Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin? Brannon?
Yes.
Rosado Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gottlieb? Grant,
yes.
Gregory,
yes.
Hunchowski, Masullo,
yep.
Payne,
yes.
Perez,
yes.
Rommel,
yes.
Sosman,
yes.
Schoaf,
yes.
Silvers,
yes.
Skidmore,
yes.
Stevenson,
yes.
Tomko,
yes.
Williams,
yes.
Woodson,
yes.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill passes. Please show CS for HB 1083 reported favorably. And Representative McClure moves that we adjourn. Seeing no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.